From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the third day of February 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In agricultural news, the president wants to make sure currency rates are fair and equitable. It may be that the Chinese currency is undervalued by about 40% against the U.S. dollar. USDA has projected U.S. farmers will expand corn planting by 2% this year, or 1.5 million acres. And oil refineries and truckers are suing the state of California over its low carbon fuels standards regulation. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then, as we get to the bottom of this program, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. He'll fill us in on all the agricultural weather details. It all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. The March contract and the soft red winter wheat pit at $4.69, down 18 and a quarter today. The May futures 18 cents lower. And a settlement price at 483.5. July at 495.5, down 17.5. Hard red in Kansas City finished the March 15.75 lower at $4.83.25. Back in Chicago from the corn pit nearby March at 353 on the settlement price, down 12 cents. May at 364.5, 11.75 higher. July at 374.75, down 11.5. And September at 382.75, down 11.25. December futures 389.75, down 11.25. March soybean futures at $9.08, down 17.5. The May at 919, 17.5 lower. July at 928.5, down 17.25. And the August beans at 924.5, down 16.5. The November contract in the bean pit settled at $9.07, down 14.5. March bean meal off 470 at 268.90. March oil at 36.90, down 57. Mercantile exchange numbers, live cattle, February contract 86.45, up 22.5. Feb lean hogs at 66.12.5. Up 72.5. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $76.85 a barrel. The settlement price there, down 38 cents. February ethanol at $1.81, down 0.7. The natural gas at $5.41.6, 3.8 lower. And the RBOB gasoline, a gain today of 1.3, at $2.03.1. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.01.6, down 1.5. And the gold futures on the afternoon at $1,111.40. A settlement price $6 lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 10,276, just about 21 points lower at this hour. The U.S. dollar at 79.37, up 0.36. And the CRB index at 270.58, down 2.61 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like, as prepared by our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says tonight, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 17 in the far northwestern parts of Illinois to 27 in the far south. And then tomorrow, Ed says, in northern and eastern Indiana, partly to mostly sunny, elsewhere mostly cloudy. Highs will range tomorrow from 32 in the far northern part of Illinois to 42 in the far southern parts of Indiana. The extended forecast, says Precip, will start to overspread this two-state area from southwest tomorrow night, with widespread precipitation on Friday and Friday night. The precip will come in as snow in the north, as mostly snow in central sections, and as a mixed bag of mostly rain and then some snow toward Friday evening to the south. Several inches of snow may fall in some locations, especially in central and toward the northern sections of the two-state region, Friday into Friday night. And colder air will arrive over the weekend with scattered snow showers possible on Saturday. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and hear from Drew Lerner.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services from Oakland, Illinois, is here today. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Lots of red in Chicago. Some of it, I suppose, came out as Informa and other folks decided that there was more soybeans in South America than maybe some had thought. I suspect there might be other things to put there as well. What do you see?
Yeah, the market took a kind of a reprieve and saw some good rallies on Tuesday. Crude oil up $4.5-$5 a barrel, and we saw some strength overnight. Commodity funds were very aggressive on Tuesday, and then reports indicated that the EPA would come out at some point in time with some announcement on possibly more fuel mandates. We did get some overnight news of that Iraq possibly bought U.S. and Russian wheat. China did sell 200,000 tons of soybeans out of their grain reserve. Rains were in the forecast for Argentina and Brazil. And then at 10:30, as we mentioned on the early morning market update, that Informa would come out with some guest estimates of what they think the crop size in South America was. And it is a shock. The corn crop from the previous government estimates, over 3.3 million tons more corn production in Argentina and Brazil, which is an eye-opener. 1.8 million more ton bigger wheat crop in the EU. And with soybeans, over 1.5 million tons over their last guest estimate. And the eye-opener is this is 31.3 million ton crop, more tons of beans than a year ago. That's over 1.2 billion bushels of beans. And at the same time, they said with this good weather conditions that we could see maybe a 1 to 2 million increase in bean production out of Argentina and Brazil. And, of course, the market added this all up, and sell signals came in from everywhere. Yes, we know that the corn prices are, kind of a national disgrace. The president talked to the Senate Democrats, and that didn't help anything. And the market did go down pretty hard and fast throughout the day.
Well, on the soy side of this situation, I suppose it's important to remember that South America had, while you talk about a really big, much bigger crop this year, they had a really pretty bad crop last year. It was a very short crop. And China remains a buyer in the marketplace. Does that give you heed to that there's a bottom inside that marketplace anytime soon?
I think what we're hearing is the soybean crush margins are horrible in China. The deal of how they buy beans is definitely they buy them out of the U.S., and then they play the ocean freight game and the basis game and optional origin switch at the time of shipment, whichever is cheaper, and we understand the basis levels in South America are dropping, and they just pencil which figures the most money, and there's a feeling of 2, 3, maybe 4 million tons of overbought beans out of the U.S. that will go out of maybe to South America. That's A. B, we know that there's a feeling that since we're not bidding for acres, so to speak, we could probably, the farmer in the narrower margins, profitability margins, will probably plant a few more beans in the U.S. now. So we do have a soybean price that could go into the $8 mark, and as a result of that, make things unprofitable. We also have a very strong Brazilian economy. They are making money off sugar, soybeans, soybean processing, sugar processing, and, of course, ethanol. Their gasoline pumps, they can blend gas, you know, the percent of ethanol into gasoline right at the pump. And there is reports that the only bright spot we see is, of course, they might even import U.S. ethanol into South America.
Well, I suppose the $8 mark is, well, it's not very far away, frankly. It's less than a day's trade away from where we are in both new and old crop soybeans at this point. So it depends on where you are in eight. Are you thinking deeper into $8 than the top side?
I'm not, you know, what we're looking at there's some chart support around 880, on the November new crop November bean contract. But what we're saying is that with this kind of total bushel production and with this potential of next year carryover in the U.S. jumping to 500 million bushels, this doesn't augur very well for the U.S. soybean market. Also, with this in mind, we know that the farmer in the U.S. did sell a lot of beans, so he's in pretty good shape, and he did sell some new crop beans at 10. But the corn price, we know that the poor old farmer is caught big time in the corn market. He wanted to use the crop insurance as kind of a floor. The crop size, the government had faked him on the crop size. They came in with more corn. And as a result of that, the corn market, basically at 344, which is, way below, modern price levels should be.
All right. What should a producer do? Wait it out?
Well, a couple things here. We do have a loan program in corn. Dry the corn, try to get it in condition. And, at this particular price level, hopefully we'll see some mandates out of the government on more ethanol. And hopefully we will see some better mandates as far as getting this U.S. economy going. Because, let's face it, it's in horrible shape right now.
Paul, we appreciate all your comments and all your time. Thank
you
so much.
Have a nice day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Wednesday afternoon.
The 20th annual All-Day Agriculture Outlook meeting is sure to attract a crowd. Among those presenting March 9th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, Sue Martin, Steve Freed, Chip Flory, Glenn Ring, Joe Persaki, John Bondrand, and Ed Kieser. Avoid the long registration line by calling 800-528-7980. The cost is $20 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail you your tickets good for our VIP line. The number to call is 800-528-7980.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Rebecca King in Galesburg at 309-341-5007. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the day.
In agricultural news, President Barack Obama today says it is important to address currency rates with trading partners such as China to ensure U.S. goods are not facing a disadvantage. The president says his administration is pushing China and other nations to enforce existing trade rules and open their markets in a reciprocal way. A recent report by the Peterson Institute for International Economics estimates China's currency is undervalued by about 30% against all other world currencies and about 40% against the dollar. The Washington think tank also says that four other Eastern Asian economies, Hong Kong, Malaysia, Taiwan, and Singapore, need to let their currencies rise in value to correct imbalances in global trade. USDA projections released today suggest U.S. farmers plan to expand corn plantings by 2% this year. USDA projected plantings of 88 million acres, up 1.5 million acres from 2009, for a crop of 12.96 billion bushels. It would be the third largest crop on record after 2009 and 2007. USDA projects soybean plantings today of 76.5 million acres, down 1 million acres from 2009. USDA puts the projected 2010 soybean output at 3.23 billion bushels. USDA is scheduled to release its first detailed projections of plantings, harvest, and use of major U.S. crops on February 11th. Oil refinery and trucking groups have sued California officials yesterday over the state's low carbon fuel standard regulation. The lawsuit, filed in federal court in Fresno, California, asks the court to reverse the standard, saying the law violates the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution by attempting to regulate interstate and foreign commerce. Adopted in April of 2009, the standard requires fuel manufacturers to cut the carbon intensity of fuels sold in California 10% by 2020. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. And he also puts together our annual all-day Ag Outlook meeting over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You can find all the details on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. The meeting, of course, scheduled for the 9th day of March, the second Tuesday, as usual. And it's a big event this year, our 20th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. Please do sign up. Lots of big names coming in, and we'd like to have you there as well. Now, up next, we'll stay with agriculture, but switch gears just a little bit, and we'll talk about the workhorse of the planet's food production system. It's the honeybee. And it lives in a very complex society and has a pretty short lifespan. And over that lifespan, as you'll hear, one bee can take on many different jobs. The honeybee is largely responsible for pollination of many of the foods we humans eat. About one-third of human nutrition is directly due to crops grown through honeybee pollination. So it's important to understand something about the bee and its society. One of the hallmarks of a complex society is division of labor. Certain individuals do certain jobs. That's exactly what happens in a honeybee colony, says University of Illinois entomologist Gene Robinson.
In the honeybee colony, this is structured largely along the lines of age. So when the bee is young, she works in the hive, and then when she's older, she goes outside to collect food.
An adult worker honeybee lives about 6 weeks. She spends the first 2.5 to 3 weeks working inside the hive, taking care of baby bees, cleaning the hive, building the wax comb, and protecting the hive.
And then at about 2.5 to 3 weeks, she makes a transition. She sort of graduates and becomes a forager, going outside to collect nectar and pollen. So the question is, how do those changes occur? What happens inside the bee to propel it along this trajectory? How does it know to work in the hive and then later on to become a forager?
This pattern of behavioral maturation, says the scientist Gene Robinson, is regulated by a set of changes in the activity of thousands of genes in the bee brain.
So when the bee is young and working in the hive, there is one brain molecular signature of gene activity, and when the bee is a forager, there's a very different molecular signature of brain activity, with genes turning on and turning off, or turning up and turning down, to coordinate all of the different aspects of changing jobs.
It offers up some interesting insights into the human condition, into nature and nurture, the inherited and the environmental effects. The honeybee changes jobs on an inherited schedule, but one that can be moved by the effects of the environment around the colony. Nature and nurture work together in this case, and not against each other. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, is on the phone line with us today. Hi, Matt.
How are we doing, Todd?
I'm very well this afternoon. Looks like a little snowfall headed our way. And speaking of falling, prices of grain and oil seeds both fell sharply in Chicago today. Did that make things easier in your ethanol plant?
You know, profit-wise, it still did. Corn to oil ratio starting to widen out a little bit here. But as far as buying corn and the basis implications, that has it has been a challenge, to say the least.
Tell me about basis in your area.
Right now, you know, the train shippers want to talk basis a little higher, and I believe, you know, spout values are higher. We haven't seen that really turn into much improvement as far as what the consumer can or what the producer can sell into a train shipper, but I believe that is coming down the pipeline. Basis as far as what the processor has been steady over this last week, edging higher. I'd probably call a couple guys or a couple places did go 2 to 3 cents higher, but most places stayed the same. I believe this week, though, with the sharp decline here, and also as we start to really eat through this February to arrive, because it seems like all these February bushels want to move here while the weather's good this week. You know, next week we'll probably come in with, you know, 3 to 5 cents basis improvement here. On the bean side, beans have been on fire for about the last 10 days, been up about that 15 cents at all the processors in Indiana. And seems like that's going to continue and maybe have another 5 cents of appreciation in there.
Is that because so many beans have already moved into the hands of elevators like yourselves, and they're hunting down beans that are still out in the hands of farmers in the bins? Or what's the reason? Or, and I'm guessing there must be a short supply somewhere along the lines.
Yeah, you know, just looking out in the countryside, a lot of beans moved at harvest. So I think we had a shortage of beans as far as what we average, you know, have it as an average in the bin. Then a lot of those guys are still bullish these beans. I know it's hard to get bullish these beans with South America, some of the fundamental drivers here in this market, but just talking to guys, you know, $9.50 and $10 are still their target areas, and weren't too interested in letting anything go and for the values less than that. So you have, I think you have a situation where the commercial beans have been moved since there wasn't much carry here and out of harvest and into January, and the producer's just flat price driven here.
And your prices for the day?
Yeah, Todd, Climbers Corn ends the day at $3.43, Delphi beans at $9 even.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Back in 2 minutes with the Ag Weather.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. It could be a while before there's any clarity on who won yesterday's primaries for governor in Illinois. Workers at the Cook County Board of Elections are still counting ballots. This morning, workers at a warehouse in Chicago counted 635 paper ballots. They came from some suburban Cook County precincts where there were issues transmitting ballots on Tuesday. There are also about 800 provisional ballots that need to be verified in Cook County and at least 1,000 absentee ballots to be counted. Those absentee ballots had to be postmarked Monday, but they have 2 weeks to arrive at county offices. Several key Illinois primary races remain undecided, chief among them the Democratic and Republican gubernatorial primaries. A recount could keep the results in doubt for several weeks more if the entire process plays out. Candidates who want a recount have to wait until the results are certified in a couple of weeks before they can formally ask for a discovery recount. And if that process reveals problems that warrant a full recount, it could be well into the spring before an official decision comes out. As of this afternoon, Republican Bill Brady still leads Kirk Dillard by only a few hundred votes, with Andy McKenna not far behind in third. Governor Pat Quinn maintains about a 7,400-vote lead over challenger Dan Hynes in the Democratic race. It's not yet official, but Indiana Republicans say Dan Coats wants to return to the U.S. Senate. They say he'll challenge Democratic Senator Evan Bayh in November. Coats didn't seek re-election in 1998 and thus avoided a race with Bayh, who was governor at the time. The Indiana University School of Medicine is feeling the pinch of state budget cuts. The school, based in Indianapolis, says it will admit fewer medical students next year. That could mean fewer doctors in a state that's already facing a shortage. The largest blood center in Illinois is doing its part to help relief efforts in Haiti. LifeSource recently sent a supply of red blood cells to help Haitian earthquake victims. LifeSource officials say Chicago area volunteer blood donors made that possible by creating a stable local blood supply. I'm Tom Rogers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City joins us today to talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start in South America, where there has been rainfall, it's been dry, it's been both. What do you see at this time?
Well, I think we're going to see more of that. It's just a good mix of weather down there. Argentina, at first, is going to be dry in the southwest here for another 24 hours, but I think by the time we get to Friday, we'll have received some significant rain. The far southwest corner of Argentina is the driest area in the country, and it is not a main soybean-producing area, so it's really not having much impact on the bean production potential in South America. The heart of soybean country in Argentina is in pretty darn good shape. It's likely to stay that way. We're going to see timely rains occur on a regular basis now from today all the way through Monday of next week, and then we'll probably take a little break for a little while and then get some more rain about 5 to 7 days later. So it's a really good environment for Argentina to continue developing a fine-looking crop. And in Brazil, it's probably just about as good. The crop in Brazil has been subjected to a lot of rain, as you mentioned, earlier this season. But we are now in a drying mode, and it hasn't rained for a couple of days across a large part of the country. And temperatures are getting up into the 80s and lower 90s every day. And we're going to see this continue now for at least taking us through the weekend into Sunday. And then we'll bring scattered showers and thunderstorms back across Brazil for the majority of next week into the following weekend. And so the end result is a darn nice mix, and the weather is going to be just about ideal for the development of summer crops, and their yield potentials are going to stay high. The only place where there's a problem in Brazil is in the far northeast. That's because of dryness, and it has been rather persistent. They will lose yield potential there, but that is not a major soybean production region, and the impact will probably be minor.
So I guess if you summarized it, you'd say a little stutter here and there along the way, but really the growing season has been awfully good in South America from top to bottom?
Yeah, I really think that's right, and apparently that's what the market thinks as well.
Okay, I think you're correct that that is what the market thinks. What do you see in other growing regions around the globe, especially for wheat?
Well, it looks like some of the wheat areas are doing very well. We really haven't had a lot of damage done this winter. There's been a lot of bitter cold in the first half of the season across parts of China, the northeast part of China, and also across the former Soviet Union and in parts of Eastern Europe. And, of course, back here in the U.S., it's been pretty cold at times. But we've managed to keep the wheat crop protected in most of these areas, and I don't see major issues coming up for a while. We do have a little bit of dryness that we're watching but not really terribly concerned about in China. That's really left over from last summer's drought, and it's really outside of wheat country, so I'm not terribly concerned about that. And it also looks like it's going to rain and snow in parts of the wheat areas anyway as we get into the early part of next week. Outside of that, there's some rain that's coming up for northern India. That's a place where it doesn't rain a lot in the wintertime, but if they get this rain this weekend and early next week, it's going to bolster their yield potentials as well. And, of course, in U.S. hard red wheat country and in the soft wheat areas in the Midwest, we've got nothing but abundant moisture in most areas. some of that's good and some of it's not so good. We do need to see some drier conditions in the Midwest, the Delta, and the southeastern states to avoid spring flooding and possibility of some losses in crops in the low-lying areas. But for the most part, I think we're doing pretty well around the world.
Drew, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, and have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That's the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason.